All right, now I know many of you are going to be traveling. Looks like we've got some who already are. But this is going to be the Thanksgiving weekend. And I've got a little story here that came from one of the men in this church. I think it was last week he was telling this story in a small group that we had. And of course, all of you have been to one of these coin-operated washers, right? Wash your car. How many of you now don't do that? You let the machine do the whole thing. You don't do any work anymore at all. Well, this was one that he was in several years ago, and we were talking about something, and all of a sudden this story popped into his head, and so he told this story, and it was such a good story. I could just see it happening to myself. Some of you guys probably could also. He pulled in, and you know, sometimes after it's rained and things like that, and everybody's car is dirty. Everybody seems to want to wash it at the same time. Have you ever been there like that? So he pulls up, and everything is full, and there's people waiting, and he pulls up, and there's a lady that he thinks, well, this will be the next best one, so he pulls up there because she's been in there, and, you know, she just keeps washing the car and putting money in and washing the car. And he, you know, he starts looking closer, and he realizes that she doesn't know how to pull the lever to make it go. She's just kind of like, and she's walking around. He watches her, and she's an older lady. She's a more mature lady. And he starts to wonder, well, should I say something to her, or should I not? And he's waiting. And you know, honestly, how most of us are, he's a little aggravated it's taking so long. And so he finally decides, okay, I'm going to go help this lady. And so he walks over there, and he says, man, he says, I don't want to interrupt anything, but can I just show you something? And she said, well, sure. And he said, just take that and squeeze it. And she squeezes it, and it goes like this. She goes, wow! And so all of a sudden now she's washing her car, but she's got some power behind it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that live their lives, and they, just like that lady's washing their car, they've got the water on. They're trying to do the job. They're trying to make everything, wash everything clean, make everything right. But they just don't seem to have any punch in their life. They don't have any power. They don't have anything that makes them think, wow, you know, hey, this is going good. How many of you have done something and it's just going really well and you feel really good, right? And that's what she was missing right there. She just did not have that power. She didn't have that joy. Now, the power of gratefulness in our lives cannot be underestimated. It is one of the things that the Spirit does. We sang that today, that when you come to a place where you're really in awe of who God is, and you're in awe of what Jesus did for you, it just changes the way you think and feel about everything. Because you're in God's presence and you realize His great love for you. And you realize His presence. And so the fear of what's going to happen seems to disappear. And that power that picks you up and makes you feel like I can do anything with God. That's what we want. I see that every week. Now, you guys don't know any of these ladies because they're all older and they're all at Greenbrier Cove and one gentleman. I think three of the people at this table are in their 90s. One of them, the one standing up, is 99. She's going to turn 100 January 1st. I see Jacob nodding his head. He's led that Bible study for me when I was gone at times. But it's just such an interesting group because you can imagine 93, 92, 99, and the other ones are in the high 80s, their bodies aren't functioning that well. They got lots and lots of physical problems. I mean, getting in that room and moving those heavy chairs and sitting down, it's a strain for them. And yet, they're just so excited about what God is doing. And we had, last week, we had a Bible study, and for some reason, the verse came up, and I said, you know, the Bible tells us that our outward man and our bodies groan, waiting for redemption, but our spirit is renewed day by day. And I said, how many of you feel like your spirit is stronger now than it was when you were younger? And it was just funny to watch them. Oh, yes! I mean, they just, oh, yes! And they're just, oh, God is so good. He has blessed me so much. These problems I can go through, I can't wait until I die, until I see him face to face, but I know he's got something for me here. These are people that can't even get out of the building. And yet they have a joy whenever their attention is directed at God and what he has done for them, and they are well aware of all of the great blessings God has brought them in their lives, when most of us would be well aware of all the limiting factors of our health and all kinds of other things that are going on. But it's an interesting thing of how they are. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our what? It's our strength. And I look at them and their bodies are so feeble, and I've been going there for 4 years. I see some of their bodies becoming more and more feeble. But they become more and more energetic and strong in what they're doing in their hearts. And that's exactly what it is talking about. The root of joy is gratefulness. It's gratefulness. And the Bible demonstrates that to us very, very plainly, but sometimes I think we miss that. I love this cartoon right here because we're coming up to Thanksgiving. Here they are sitting at the table. The one guy comes up and he says, has it already been a year since we were thankful? How many of you know, if we're honest, there are a lot of people in this world that have so many things going that are not what they want, that they really are thankful on occasion when somebody really brings it to their attention. But they're not thankful day after day after day after day. I'm reminded of a story of a little boy, and he was invited to a birthday party of a friend that lived in a much, much more upscale housing development than what they lived in. And so the mother was kind of, you know, she was kind of nervous, because this was like, we're stepping way out of our class here. And so she told the little boy, she said, now I want you to make sure that when this party is over, that you thank her for inviting you. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And so he went, and the mother waited and was hoping that he would fit in and that things would go well. And so he came back out, and she picked him up and took him home. And as they're riding in the car, she goes, now you thanked her for inviting you, didn't he? And he said, no. And she said, why not? I told you to thank him. He said, well, the boy who walked out there in front of me thanked her, and she said, don't mention it, so I didn't. Sometimes we're kind of like that. Even though we all know we're thankful for what God has done, we should still say what? We should still say thank you. Jesus mentioned it. There are 24 recorded times in the Gospels where Jesus thanked God. There are 140 times in the Bible that speak of giving thanks. As a matter of fact, when we're given a picture of what it means to be lost, in Romans 1:21, you know what it says? Although they knew he was God, they didn't worship, some translations say glorify, but they didn't worship or glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful. That's a description of what it is to be lost. I'm completely severed from God. I don't even see who God is and what he's doing. He's so much not a part of my life that I don't feel in awe of him. I don't feel like I should fall to my knees and bow down and just thank him for everything he's done, everything that he's given me, every moment that I breathe, everything that happens is a gift from his hand. When we're connected to God, we realize everything we have is a gift from him. When we're lost and separated from him, the first characteristic is we're not thankful. And that means we're not worshiping and glorifying him. We're not seeing him in his place. So the first result is we don't feel grateful. We're not concentrating on the greatness of God and the things that he has done. We're concentrating on the things that we don't have and that inconvenience us. I love this little statement. Some of you have heard it before. Each morning God gives us a rose, then some of us will spend the day complaining about the thorns. Well, there are always thorns with life. There are always things that are not going to go well. That's why all of creation, the Bible says, groans waiting for redemption. This world is not what God intends. It is not the paradise that he created for us. It's the result of the selfishness and self-centeredness of the sinful people who are in it. And we have to live in this world which is not perfect. And there's lots of things that could take our attention off of God that we could complain about. But those complaints take a toll on us. I love this little cartoon right here, the complaint line and the gratitude line. If you've ever been somebody's boss, you know how that works. It's a whole lot easier to see all the things that you're not getting and have a complaint rather than be grateful for the things that you are getting and that are happening for you. When I grew up as a boy, for a short period of time, I lived in Wyoming. And out in Wyoming, out in Laramie, you can look out. As a matter of fact, we were the last house in Laramie, Wyoming. So from our backyard, you could see for miles and miles and miles and miles, and there was no Rocky Mountains there. It's just sagebrush and flat. And there's nothing there. And there's not many people there either. I think there's 4 people per square mile in Wyoming, at least there used to be. Well, when you get out and you're driving, you can not see anybody for a long time. And they tell the story of a cowboy that was taking some type of a trip, and he had his faithful dog in the back of the pickup, and his faithful horse, he was pulling in a trailer behind, and he was off, and he was driving. Now, also, every year we lived in Laramie, Wyoming, it snowed on Labor Day. Just to give you an idea of what the weather can be like. And it's not uncommon to have 60, 70 mile an hour winds along with that. And so for some reason, this cowboy, he got in a terrible accident. Went off the road, flipped that car, he just laid there. Broken legs, broken ribs, just laid there thinking, I'm going to be here out in the cold. No one's ever going to find me. It could be hours and hours and hours before anyone comes by. And he just is praying. And along comes a state trooper. And the state trooper pulls up and he sees the mangled vehicles. And so he gets out and he starts to walk. And of course, being a cowboy himself and being an animal lover, he walks up and the first thing he sees is that horse that's been thrown out of that trailer. And he sees that horse and it's in terrible, terrible pain. And so he takes out his service revolver and he shoots it and he moves on. And then as he comes around the pickup truck, the next thing he sees is that dog. And the dog is just all mangled up and it's whining. It's in terrible, terrible pain. And so he shoots the dog. And then he comes around the pickup truck and down off of the side of the road behind it, he sees the man laying there. And he walks over to him and he says, "Are you okay?" And the guy says, "I've never felt better." What we don't realize is that every complaint that we have is like taking some part of our life, some part of our attitude, some part of our dreams, some part of what God could do in our life. It's like pulling out a service revolver and just putting that to death. We can put relationships to death because of our attitudes. You can put a marriage to death because of your attitude. You can lose a job because of your attitude. You can do all kinds of things by simply seeing what's not what you want in the situation, rather than seeing God and realizing he's working in all these situations. And that everything we have is a tremendous opportunity to be grateful because he loves us and he is a part of our lives. He lives in us and works in us. Count yourself blessed every day, and you will find yourself living in a world of blessings. It's about our attitudes. The Bible tells us that we're to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. Christ came to bring us fullness of life. He came to put his Spirit in our heart, which gives us the fruit of joy because of love. We have peace because we understand God's great love. We are thankful to God for what he has done, and he floods us with his presence, which brings us joy and happiness. We can't wait until we have everything as we want it, and then we're able to be happy. Gratitude is when you focus on what you have rather than what you don't have. We tend to forget that happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something we don't have, but rather recognizing and appreciating everything we do. And we're all vulnerable to this. How many of you have experienced, just like I have, rushing to pick something up at Walmart and it breaks out in pouring rain? And I'm telling you what, if I got all the time in the world and it's a beautiful sunny day, there's a parking space open right by the front door. But if it's pouring down rain, I got to take the last one in the lot. It's amazing how a little bit of rain and a little bit of inconvenience can make me concentrate on what I don't have, rather than the fact that I've got a car to drive to a store and money in my pocket to buy anything I want. But all I can see is the thorns, rather than the great rose that God has given us. I love this quote right here. This came from a member of our church. It says, "What a wonderful life I've had. I only wish I'd have realized it sooner." That conversation made me think of this verse. It says, "It's better to see what you have than to want more. Wanting more is useless, like chasing the wind." And many of us chase the wind. We're going to be happy when we finally get to this place or have this thing or work this relationship out. But the fact is that we all have wonderful lives. We just need to realize it. We need to look at those things that God has given us, those things that God is doing, those things that God has put us in this world to do, and we will find great, great joy. God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one of them to say thank you? What if you woke up today and the only things that you thank God for yesterday you had? Everything that you took for granted and did not appreciate that God gave you were gone. What would our lives, we would find out how much happiness and blessings God had given us if that happened. I am grateful for. Those are the things that we need to think about. Those are the things that we need to talk about. Those are the things that we need to put in the forefront of our mind. Now I'm just going to take just a second right here, and I'm going to just open it up for you to take a couple of, you know, I'm not going to take too long, but just a couple of minutes for those of you who are thankful for something. Just say, what are you thankful for that God has given you? Who's thankful in here for something? What are you thankful for? Your wife. Well, that's a good one. You're going home. That's a. Now this guy, he might have ulterior motives. I don't know. But no, isn't that a wonderful thing to be thankful for? Let me tell you something. That's what makes a good marriage. Being grateful for your spouse. Looking for the good that they give you, not all of the problems. That's hard to do, isn't it? Who else is thankful for something? What are you thankful for? for your family, to have someone around you who loves you, even when you struggle. Mary? God's grace and patience. How many of you are very grateful for God's grace and patience? We can use that. Tim? Our church family. Well, I'll tell you what, I am grateful. I didn't realize what a church family was before I came to Eastwood. I had been in churches as I moved different places. I didn't realize what it was to really be around people that loved you till I came here. And I was a member here, for those of you who are visiting, for 16 years before I pastored. I've been pastoring here. I'm just starting in the fifth year. Yes?
Trials.
That's what the Bible tells us we should be thankful for. Why, Stephen, are you thankful for trials? Wow. Those are some great things. We're thankful for trials because God reveals himself to us in them. We're thankful for trials because he changes us while we go through them. And they're necessary things for us. We can't be the people God wants us to be if we don't go through some trials. They're just part of life. Hannah?
I'm thankful for both the good times and the bad.
Yeah. Sometimes we have bad times, and sometimes it's for God to teach us and give us compassion and love. Sometimes it's because we go through bad times because we're the person who gives the comfort. Man, isn't that a wonderful feeling? How many of you are grateful for times when you went through a difficult circumstance, yourself or your family or someone else, and you knew that God had you there because you helped make it better? That's just part of the purpose that God has for us. Anybody else? Lolita? That you still have what? How many of you are grateful that God keeps us sane? How many of you are grateful that when you go through things that just your mind cannot comprehend, you don't understand how you could possibly get anywhere like that, that God sees us through and you've still got it together? That is a great thing. All right, I'll take one more. Go ahead.
A good testimony.
That is something to be joyful and grateful for. It's a wonderful feeling to know that your heart is right with God and he can speak through you. What's even greater about that is that mercy of God to wipe away and give us fresh starts. How many of you in here have felt like, I don't have a good testimony at times? And yet God has wiped your heart clean. He has reestablished you, and you now feel, God can use me. That's a wonderful thing. It's part of God's purpose for us. Each grateful thought that we have is a healing balm that transforms our lives. It's why the Bible tells us that we're supposed to stop and take time and look at God as he really is and appreciate who he is and what he has done. And what he is doing in our lives right now, and the fact that we are never alone, he is always with us. That if he would come on this earth, how many of you would leave heaven if you were at the right hand of the Father to come down here to be with some ants? And that's what we are. And not only that, you would give up everything of the glories of heaven, come down here, spend your life on insignificant people when we look at it and we think, how many people in the world today? Think of all the people who've ever lived. How could we be significant to God? It is his great love for us. For some reason, he cares about us, and he comes, and not only that, he gives everything. His entire life on that cross is given that we might know him, that we might experience him. When we think of that, we should fall to our knees with our heads bowed in gratitude that a God who doesn't need us at all cares about us, sees us as an individual, speaks to our hearts. How many of you have been in a room like this when you felt the Holy Spirit grab your heart and you knew God was talking to you? Look at how many people are in this world. Why would God care about you? It's who He is. He is so great and He is so loving. And every time we stop and think about who God is and we are grateful for what He does and what He is doing, it heals our hearts. It reestablishes how we should think, how we should live. I love this Peanuts right here. What if today we were just grateful for everything? That is how we would feel, isn't it? I love Psalms 52:9. God, I will thank you forever for what you have done. We will never stop thanking Christ for dying on the cross for us. We will do it for all eternity, and when we see Him face to face, we will appreciate it like we have never appreciated it before. With those who worship you, I will trust you because you're good. When we thank God, we are planning in our minds and we are just going over how good God is. We are becoming aware. He is here. We're just sometimes thinking about something else. When we start thinking about who He is and what He's really done, our hearts are filled with faith. And that is what God wants us to have. I will thank you, Psalms 119:7 says, by living the way I should. You know, that's not a burden when we see how much God loves us. It can be difficult when we are ungrateful and we are complaining because we didn't get our way or something we wanted right now. But when we see who God is and what He is doing, we want to live for Him. We want to talk about Him. Praise is the natural human expression of gratefulness. When we are grateful, we speak well about what we are grateful for. And that should be how we think and we treat God. Well, we are going to stop for a moment and we are going to let our band come up and we are going to finish our service by singing praise and grateful words to our Lord and Savior. But as they're coming, let me pray. Our great Heavenly Father, You are beyond our comprehension. If we stop, really stop, and think about how great You are, the Creator of the universe, who owns everything, everything we could ever see or search out, You own everything beyond all of that because all of it is Yours. You made it, even ourselves. And yet with everything in Your hands, You care about us. And Father, right now, as we have sung worship songs to You, as we have stopped and listened to Your word, Your word is alive and powerful, and within it You reveal Yourself. And somehow beyond our understanding, You speak to our hearts. And we know You're here. And we're not just one pebble of sand on the beach. We're a pebble that You see. And Father, we just ask You now to speak to our hearts, to fill our hearts with Your presence, to let us see Your great love, to know the meaning of the great act of sending Your only Son to die on the cross to wipe away our sins, to let us see Your great desire to make us one with You, to bring us into Your family, that Christ would die on the cross for us. Let us see that great love. Let us feel that pull of your Spirit saying, come. And let us give every part of our hearts to follow you. Forgive us for our bitterness. Forgive us for our complaining. Forgive us for our self-centeredness. Forgive us for our lack of gratefulness. Forgive us for not seeing you and your gracious hand in our lives. Forgive us for not seeing what you want, but only what we have. Father, we give ourselves to you. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to just wash our hearts clean with the blood of Christ. We ask you to open our eyes to see you as you really are. And to help us to be your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.